Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Awesome to be with you guys on a Wednesday night. We are now just three nights away from the start of the Blues season. The hockey season is underway. Games last night. Got one going on in front of me right now. Washington's up on the Rangers, 1-0. Sammy Blais had his first little scuffle as a member of the Rangers. And I'm sure, you know, that's only a minor note because I think everybody would rather have Pavel Buchnevich, I'd say. But I can't help but be sarcastic sometimes. But obviously, you know, it's another season where the Blues are opening as a team that expects to be a contender again in the West. From everything that I've seen, I've read a lot of preseason projections, kind of power rankings, if you will, and most of them seem to have the Blues right there just outside the top 10 in that 11, 12, 13 range, which, of course, if you... I didn't really count them all when it comes to like West versus East in that top 10 or 12. But, you know, I think you're probably looking at somewhere in the middle of the Western Conference, I think, in a normal setting. If you have some good breaks and you have good health, you could be better than that. If you have some more injuries and you have problems, well, then, yeah, it could be worse than that. But if you look at the roster from last year, you look at the production from last year, and you see, you know, just how many games were missed. I mean, you really got, you know, what was it? Maybe half a season out of Colton Parayko, if that. I think he played 30 games last year. You know, Tyler Bozak only played 30. Tarasenko played 24. And even that, he wasn't really anywhere close to being the healthy version of himself. Sundqvist only played 28 games last year. I mean, I'm not going to run through all of it, but you get the point. Like, this was a team that had a lot of injuries last year that, you know, was certainly not as strong on the blue line as they hoped they would be, and there's reason for hope in that regard with Parayko coming out of training camp looking like he's going to be okay. You know, with Krug having another year, you know, we remember Justin Falk that first year. Everybody was like, oh my God, what did they do? And then the second year, all of a sudden, oh, that's why they did that. That's the guy they spent the money on. And I wonder if that's going to be how it works with Krug too, where the first year was a little bit up and down. Offensively, only scored 2 goals, but just in general wasn't bad, just wasn't as good as they had hoped, it seems to me. But obviously year 2 has a chance to turn that around. So it's a team that has a lot of depth, in particular forward depth. A couple of guys, younger guys that are close, you know, looks like, I know Perunovic is going to open the year in the AHL, but is only a step away and a call away if you end up needing somebody. But there are a couple of other guys that they're going to give a look to first. I think this is a season that comes down to a couple of things. I mean, one is obviously health, right? I mean, this has not been a healthy team And I don't know that I mean, it's probably not even fair to go back to the 1920 season. I mean, that was just, for whatever reason, you know, in the bubble, they just weren't good. I don't know that I've ever figured it out. I've heard their thoughts on it, and I've heard them say it's not acceptable, it's not good enough, you know, there's no excuse. And I agree with that. I've never really come up with a good explanation why that would have been tougher on the Blues than on another team, for example. Maybe it's just the luck of the draw. But going into that, they were the best team in the West. And then last year, again, was just kind of middle, right? Like it never stuck. Like you felt like they were always chasing something. And, you know, again, it was a weird year. You were in a really, really tough division. You know, so it wasn't like, you know, wasn't like things normally are. You know, everything was off. But again, you throw in all of the injuries as well. It didn't turn out terribly, but, you know, it was less than expected, I think. I think that, I mean, I know, I don't put it this way. I didn't know very many Blues fans that were happy throughout the regular season. I mean, it was a team that wound up being good enough to be a playoff team, but, you know, you were, what, second worst playoff team? Well, you were the worst in your division. You know, you were the fourth one in your division. But I'm trying to look at the point totals now that I'm thinking about this off the top of my head. But I think only one playoff team had fewer points than the Blues last year, and that was Montreal. I think everybody else was at or above the level of the Blues. Right? Yeah, Winnipeg was 63 like the Blues, and everybody else was more than that. So yeah, it was an odd season. They were, you know, -1 in the goal differential. They did finish reasonably well, which is what allowed them to kind of pull away from Arizona and get themselves set up. But it wasn't what you hoped. This year feels to me like a reset. You know, you're much healthier to open the year. You do have some things hanging over your head. I mean, you got to figure out what's the long-term situation with Vlad. And, you know, does this go to the trade deadline? Is there possible reconciliation? Is this something where you're looking for a deal sooner rather than later if he looks good and all that? I think there are some questions to be answered there. But it's a lot more, to me, it looks a lot more like a team that can withstand some hits and a team that has more options. You know, when I look at a team that has a guy like Robert Thomas and Vlad Tarasenko on the third line, at least coming into the year, I think that's a pretty deep group up front. And we'll see. And I do think that Robert Thomas is a big key for this year, too. I think they need him to be more consistent and be more of a high-end player than he was last year. Well, that's just the beginning of our Blues Talk this hour. We're going to talk a bit about a bunch of these things with Andy Strickland from Ballet Sports Midwest and 590 The Fan. Get some of his thoughts on the Blues heading into the year and how things shape up. We'll do that next here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, a few nights from tonight, we'll be opening up that Blues season in Colorado. It is weird to me the season started yesterday, but the first game for the Blues isn't until many, many days later. It feels like it's just a super delay. But anyway, we'll get to there sooner rather than later. But we're going to spend a lot of time here over the rest of the week previewing the season, talking about the team. We are scheduled to talk to Craig Berube tomorrow night at 6:30, so looking forward to that. And looking forward to our hockey conversation with our man Andy Strickland coming up next. Of course, Strick with Bally Sports Midwest, 590 The Fan, the co-host of the Cam and Strick Pod with Cam Jansen, and you'll find Andy on Twitter at Andy Strickland. What's up, Strick? How you doing, bud?
All is well, Kevin. How about you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm ready to transition from one season into another. That's what this time of year is all about, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, I guess. Is there ever such thing as a transition anymore? You know, it's 365 a year now, Kevin. You know that.
I mean, it pretty much does just continue. Yeah. That's a really good point. There's not a whole lot of downtime.
No, not a whole lot of downtime. But it's all good. I mean, I shouldn't say that because there obviously is downtime. But just the sport in general, you know. And now I've got kids who are playing and still coaching and all that. This feels like it never really stops. But, you know, I mean, this year feels a little bit different. I think there's more anticipation coming into this season maybe in comparison certainly to last season, but yeah. maybe even before that. You know, it's like, you know, the Blues won the Cup and everything was great then, but, you know, the team kind of felt the same. I think this team has a little bit of that unknown, I think, entering the season, just because there are some new faces. The team appears to be deeper. The team, you know, appear to be better offensively, certainly deeper at the forward position. And, you know, I think the organization had some ideas of what they wanted to accomplish in the offseason defensively. They didn't necessarily do that. So how does this defense come together, and how do they work in unison with this forward group, and how competitive can they be, specifically against the big dog competition that they're going to face from game one against Colorado? Yeah. Can they truly take another step and get out of the first round, something they haven't been out of the first round since they won the Cup?
Is this, Andy, you think this is a year where there may be some adjustment period early? I mean, it's not like there's a ton of roster turnover, but there's some turnover and some change in a few key spots.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think sometimes when you have new players and new additions who play big minutes and have big roles on the back end defensively, I think the adjustment there is certainly bigger than players who are coming to play in an offensive role. You know, a guy like Brandon Saad, you know, mm-hmm. you mentioned Pavel Buchnevich before. I mean, these type of guys, you know, they're just hockey players who play at a high level, who have been playing with good players their entire careers, and they can fit in pretty quickly. In fact, they're going to force other players to adapt to what they want to do. You know, I mean, a guy like Buchnevich, you know, he's no stranger to playing with elite players. I mean, he played with Zibanejad. He played with, you know, Panarin in New York. I mean, we're talking about elite of the elite in terms of, you know, skilled offensive players in the NHL. And, you know, Brandon Saad has played with Kane. He's played with Taves. He's played with big-time players pretty much his entire career. He spent some time playing even with Nathan MacKinnon last year in the playoffs. So, again, we're talking about guys who, in the case of Saad, he's won. But I think if you look at the Blues, you know, in terms of the depth right now, I can't remember a Blues team that's been this deep, specifically on the right wing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in my entire time covering the Blues, Kevin, when you think about it. I mean, you've got, you know, Buchnevich, obviously, who is a left shot, but he likes to play his offside, and he's a right winger, and you have him plugged in there along with David Perron. You have, you know, Vladimir Tarasenko, who is slotted in right now as your third-line right winger, although he's going to get first power play opportunities. But they're so deep on the right side that you have a guy like Jordan Kyrou flipping over to the left side to play a position that he's not as comfortable playing just because of their depth. So I'll be interested to see how that plays out, how much faster, how much quicker this team can play. And again, just the confidence that they showed in the preseason, can they truly carry that over into what we're going to see when it really matters?
Yeah, could, you know, the new guys you just mentioned, Buchnevich and Saad, I don't know that they could have picked guys that fit more of kind of the way Craig Berube seems to want his players to play, could they? I mean, they seem almost like too good to be true kind of fits.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a guy like Saad, I think, can play with pretty much any group in the league, just the way he played. He plays a pretty simple game, although he's got more dynamic skill and more dynamic offensive ability than I think people realize. And I think they'll catch on to that very quickly, specifically the little plays he can make. I mean, he's pretty crafty out there. If you watch the preseason, he can do these little, you know, spinorama backhand cross-ice passes that kind of come out of nowhere. But, you know, his game is built below the face-off dots, down low. He gets in on the forecheck. He can protect the puck. So from that standpoint, he certainly is a great fit for a guy like Craig Berube, because he can hang on to the puck and make plays. And like I said, he can play with skilled players too. Buchnevich is a guy that's going to improve the Blues' overall play, and specifically off the rush. You know, you look at the Rangers, they're a rush team. If you go watch Buchnevich's goals last year in New York, he scored a lot of goals off the rush. You watch him in practice. He loves to one-time the puck off the rush. And it's funny because I mentioned that, and a lot of New York Ranger fans were like, wow, he didn't do very much of that in New York. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I watch a lot of his goals, and he does like to one time the puck, and he can certainly do that. But even the coaching staff is a little bit surprised with how well he can shoot the puck, and you hope that you see more of that. But a guy who's responsible in the defensive end as well. I know, you know, Craig Berube throws out 200-foot player, Kevin.
Yep, yep.
And we hear that all the time, and sometimes it's cliche, but obviously you can't have enough of those guys. And you know, in the case of Saad, in the case of Buchnevich, two guys that obviously are going to have big-time roles, and we're not even getting to Jake Neighbors yet, but we're talking about guys that understand the game, know how to play time and score. They can find their way around the offensive end, just like any other NHL player can do, but can they certainly get it done in their own end and play within the overall team structure? These guys can do that. They play a national brand, the NHL game, and they play winning hockey too, which ultimately makes them a good fit here in St. Louis.
Strick, how big of a deal is the third line? Whether it's whoever's skating with Thomas and Tarasenko, I know they do move pieces around as the season goes along, but getting third line offense, that looks like it could be, if Thomas kind of ascends the way the team has been hoping for, and if Vlad is healthy, that could be as good a third line, quote unquote third line, as you're going to find.
I know, and for years, Kevin, everyone said top six and bottom six, and now it kind of creeped in a couple years ago. You heard the NHL general managers and head coaches saying, hey, our group of nine. And now people call the third line. If you truly have a scoring third line, which if you're a quality team and a contending team, you have a third line that can score. Now you call it a middle six line. It's a line that could be considered a second line. They could be considered a third line, depending on the matchups or how the head coach wants to use them. But if you look at the Blues as a team, that's kind of what they have. They have three second lines. I don't think they have an alpha male first line.
That's a good point. Yeah, good point.
When you look at the way that they're built. I mean, they've got players that you may consider all-stars, guys like the Perrons and the O'Reillys and Tarasenko. Yep. But I'm not so sure they have that one legitimate, bona fide superstar. I mean, Tarasenko certainly was that guy a year or two ago, and now he's got to prove that he can get back to being that guy and getting back to that level, and everyone is hoping that he can, but he's going to have to prove that he can. But so it's not just about the depth that the Blues have offensively, but I think it's that balance that's going to carry them through and allow them to put up some points and win a lot of games just because of what we're talking about. So you look at Thomas, you look at Shen, your second and third line centers. I mean, you can flip-flop those two lines.
Yep.
You got James Neal playing with Thomas and Tarasenko. So he's obviously scored a lot of goals. Yeah, a lot of goals on that line between Neal and Tarasenko. And Robert Thomas may have been their best player in training camp and throughout the preseason. So that'll be interesting to see how those two lines are used, specifically, Kevin, as we get into games after losses, and just how the overall ice time is distributed.
Yeah, good point. Let's talk about 91 for a second. I mean, how is this going to play out, you think? I mean, obviously, you're not really in a position to move him and fulfill his request if he's not, the guy that lives up to that salary. But if he's that guy, you almost want to find a way to make it work, because when he's that guy, he's an elite scorer. How do we look at this from a time frame standpoint? Is it just about being healthy and productive, and we'll see where this is later in the year?
Well, I think if he wants to get moved, then he's got to create a market for himself, because that's just the reality of it.
Yep.
I mean, the Blues weren't looking to give him away, and there really wasn't a market for Vladimir Tarasenko. I think you and I talked about that during the course of the offseason. So, if he's scoring goals at a high rate, I think what you say is spot on. I don't know if the Blues are looking to trade him if he's red hot and if he's catching fire. I mean, they may say, hey, he looks pretty good in a Blues uniform versus in a uniform with another team. So that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But in terms of, his presence in the dressing room and on the ice, I don't think a whole lot changes. I mean, listen, Vladimir Tarasenko appears to be in great shape.
Yeah.
His teammates are saying he's in great shape. He looks to be in great shape. He's smiling a lot. I've had a chance to be around him on a couple of occasions here over the course of the last few weeks, had some conversations with him. And, he really is in great spirits. Now, how's Tarasenko going to be in the event that he struggles and the puck isn't going in the net for him? And frustration creeps in. If that happens, then there's everything else we're talking about accepting your role and fitting, in with the overall team concept. Is that going to change for a guy like Tarasenko? You hope we don't get there and he's not dealing with frustration and he's scoring goals from the very beginning. He's back in his spot where he wants to be on the number one power play unit. He wasn't very happy last year in the playoffs where, Craig Berube moved him to to more of a net front position. He wasn't very comfortable there. And he's back into a spot where we've seen him play throughout his entire career. But you had Mike Hoffman, who was teeing up one-timers and scoring basically at will down the stretch last season. So that kind of changed things. But Tarasenko, it's just going to be a game-by-game approach, Kevin. Not to duck the question. I mean, listen,
no, it's fair.
Who knows how this is going to play out. If he's having success, I think it's all good. If he's struggling, then it's going to have to be something that we pay attention to.
All right, two more guys I really want to go just get into them a little bit, because they're opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're fascinating to me. With James Neal, who you brought up, and then obviously Jake Neighbors at the other side. But let's start with Neal, because obviously if you look at the stats, you look at the game, he scored goals, especially in the last couple of games. Yeah. We know what his history is. You know he's 34 and been through all of this. How big of an impact can he be? I mean, what does he have left in the tank?
Well, and again, and that's what we need to find out, because, you know, some people are saying, hey, pump the brakes on Neighbors. I'm more about pumping the brakes on James Neal, because, again, here's a guy who scored 5 goals last season. Now, he dealt with some COVID issues early on that really set him back.
Yeah.
He is a natural goal scorer. The puck finds him. Even if you watch him in the preseason, he's always around the puck. You know, he's not a perfect player by any means. You look at his skating. His skating isn't certainly where it once was earlier in his career. And like I said, the Blues do have some depth, and they have players who they can move up the lineup
right.
in the event that James Neal isn't getting the job done. But again, he's earned the spot that he's in right now. To be a third-line left winger, to play with 2 good players, obviously had 4 goals in the preseason, including a hat trick to kick things off in the first game. But again, it's the trust that the coaching staff has with him just because of his, you know, maturity as an NHL player and the fact that he's been around the block a couple of times, and he can put the puck in the net, and he's a big body, and he goes to the net. And listen, veteran guys in the room like having other veterans around. So, you know, I think he's not going to hurt the team. He's only going to help. But again, how much offense can you expect from James Neal? I think that's a great question, and we're going to have to wait and find out what's realistic for James Neal in terms of production.
All right, let's talk about the other end of the spectrum, man, because it feels like everything that I'm seeing and everything that I'm hearing about Jake Neighbors almost feels too good to be true, because you're hearing about maturity, you're hearing about physicality, mm-hmm. you're hearing about leadership. I mean, the guy, he doesn't even turn 20 till next March, so what's a fair expectation? Because I know they have the 9 games to figure out what they want to do with him.
Yeah, and people need to remember, too, you don't have to play him in the first 9 games.
Right, right.
So you can stretch those 9 games out as long as you want. And you know, I know teams look at it, and on a lot of occasions, hey, it's better to have him here, training with the team here, doing all the off-ice, the strength and conditioning, being around veteran players. He's living with Braden Schenn, you know, all that type of stuff. He is mature beyond his years. And he does bring those special qualities that you want to see from a young player. I mean, not everybody at 19 can handle playing in the National Hockey League. And the Blues haven't had too many of these guys pop up. I think Robert Thomas was the last one, and maybe the last one before him.
It was Perron,
may
wasn't
have
it?
Been, you know, well, it may have been, well, defensively, either Eric Johnson or Pietrangelo,
right,
one of
right,
those two, right?
Right.
So it's not a common occurrence, especially with a guy that was drafted that late into the first round. But again, he's got sneaky skill. He's always on the puck. He gets in on the forecheck. He wins battles. He makes little plays. And when I say sneaky skill, it's the small area plays that he's able to make, the 5-foot passes, the 10-foot passes. He's not the most dynamic, the most flashy offensive player, but if you really pay attention and isolate your eyes on what he does, sometimes he makes eye-popping plays, even though they don't flash because he's not toe-dragging guys and he's not beating guys one-on-one. But he's super intelligent, and there's a reason why he's here. To win over this coaching staff, and this management, and this team. Because believe me, I know that guys like Perron and O'Reilly and Schenn, they're not making decisions as to who makes the team and who doesn't, but there's input. I mean, the management and coaching staff is constantly meeting with their leadership group, and for them to give this guy, at 19 years of age, the thumbs up, says a lot in terms of the impression that he's made, not just now, but also last season. And listen, I put this out on Twitter the other day, Kevin, and some people maybe have said, it's not unusual on Twitter that they take your words and just run with it. But the way Craig Berube describes him, it's almost like he's a future captain in the making. I mean, you don't hear coaches, you know, describe 19-year-old players the way that they describe a guy like Jake Neighbors. And I'm talking well down the road. I'm not saying get rid of Ryan O'Reilly, take the C off. Just saying down the road, just in terms of the qualities that and the description and the way that, you know, Doug Armstrong, I just did a sit-down with him. It's going to air on our season opener on Valley Sportsman West coming up on Saturday.
I mean,
listen to the way that the general manager just describes Jake Neighbors. It's really interesting. And listen, all the credit to him to come in here, keep his head down, and just work, because that's what he does. He puts the work in. He's always on the ice after practice with O'Reilly, but he truly has won over this veteran group, which is not easy to do for a 19-year-old kid.
All right, in closing, anything to worry about with goaltending? Anything we should be paying attention to? How's Ville Husso looked?
You know, well, Husso, his last game, he looked okay. The third period had a little bit of a collapse in Minnesota, where they had a 3-1 lead, ended up losing the game in overtime. But again, you look at the roster the Blues took to Minnesota. It was not their A group by any means. That second goal that he gave up wasn't very good, but he made some good saves early. And, you know, Ville Husso, you know, this is a huge year for him because he's going to be a UFA next year. I don't worry about the goaltending. I love the way Husso finished the season last year. As much as people rave about Joel Hofer, who's an up-and-coming prospect last season, and now you have this Ellis kid who was maybe the best young goaltender in camp this year. In fact, he stuck around longer than Hofer. So, I mean, the Blues are in pretty good shape at the goaltending position. I mean, this was Ville Husso a couple of years ago, where he really flashed in the preseason. And last year, like I said, he put up some nice, you know, performances down the stretch, and he's a good player. I don't worry about him. I don't worry about Jordan Binnington. These guys are really, really talented goaltenders. We've seen that from Binnington, obviously, winning the Stanley Cup. But as long as they play good hockey in front of them, you get more offensive support. You spend more of the game playing in the offensive end. And the Blues defend at a higher level, specifically with a healthy Colton Parayko, who could make all the difference in the world for this team defensively if he stays healthy and plays at the level that he's shown in the past and that he's capable of playing and the level that they need him to play. They need this guy to be a top five one-on-one defender, true top five defender in the league. He's got to be that guy. They just gave him an 8-year contract extension for a reason. If he can play at that level, you get the performance that you got last year from Falk. Krug gets better. Some of these younger guys obviously take another step with more experience. There's no reason to think that Jordan Binnington can't be the guy that we expected him to be since he had a Stanley Cup performance a couple years ago.
All right, Strick, anything coming up on the Cam and Strick pod you want to tease? Anything interesting, new? I saw you guys had the Tim Peel episode go up this week. I haven't caught it yet, but I did catch some of the highlights. Sounds like it's some pretty interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah, we've got some great ones coming. And Timmy Peel was excellent. I mean, for people who don't remember, he was fired by the NHL late last season with a month left on his contract. He was going to retire anyway. He had officiated in the NHL for 23 seasons. He left his microphone on. He made some comments. The comments, you know, bled over onto television without him knowing before they went to a commercial break. And he was fired within, you know, hours following the game after basically making it look like he just kind of gave Nashville a penalty. But he really goes into deep detail how that affected him personally, how that affected his family. So some pretty heavy stuff there from Timmy Peel. People want to check that out, the Cam and Strick podcast. We've got some other good ones coming up. We have a great interview with Torrey Krug that we did recently. He came and sat down with us in person. Ron McLean from Hockey Night in Canada. Gar Snow. We've got some great ones in the can that we haven't even released yet that we're going to be putting out very, very soon. Cam Hansen and I, you know, we have fun doing this, man. It is we have an absolute blast doing this podcast, and we've got several more to come. So we drop these every Tuesday. If people want to check those out, just go to camandstrick.com and check out any of the other 155 episodes that we've had. We've had everybody on there from Gretzky to Belfort to Lindros to Brett Hall. I mean, you go on down the line. We've had some great interviews for sure.
Yeah, you guys really do have a lot of fun with it. I enjoy it quite a bit. All right, buddy, thank you for doing this. We'll catch you at Enterprise Center here in the next week or two, bud.
Okay, always a pleasure, Kevin. Have a great night.
You got it. Thank you much. That's Andy Strickland. Of course, he and Cam Jansen do the Cam and Strick pod. Again, he mentioned the website. You can also go to @CamandStrick on Twitter if you want to get to the Twitter account where you'll find all of the interviews. Of course, Strick's working for Bally Sports Midwest as a reporter, and you'll catch him on 590 The Fan as well. All right, stick around. We're going to change gears just a little bit. Just interesting story out of Oklahoma today that caught my attention involving the Oklahoma Sooners and a really enterprising student reporter that somehow got everybody else in trouble. You get what I mean when I come back here on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And
sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Your home of the Billikens, Chiefs, and Cardinals.
I like sports. Listening to sports.
America's sports voice. KMOX.
All right, so I'm going to change gears real quick. I just got a couple of quick stories I want to get to before we run out of time, and I want to remind you guys that we're scheduled to talk to Craig Berube tomorrow night on the show at 6:30. So obviously we'll continue previewing the Blues season over the next couple of days as well. Quick story out of Norman, Oklahoma. And this one is both hilarious and kind of frustrating at the same time. So a reporter for the student newspaper down in Oklahoma was trying to observe practice, right? If you haven't been following this, there's a big quarterback controversy at Oklahoma right now. Spencer Rattler has been the star at OU for a while. He's projected as a potential first-round draft pick in the NFL this year. And they pulled him from last weekend's game against Texas after an interception and a fumble and replaced him with a true freshman who then led Oklahoma to a huge comeback win. So, obviously, there's a question, right? You got a quarterback controversy in Norman, Oklahoma. And the freshman's name is Caleb Williams. He's a five-star recruit out of high school. So, a highly recruited player. But you've got a guy that was apparently on his way to potential first-round draft status and was considered a Heisman candidate coming into the year who got pulled in that game, who's now potentially on the bench. Well, you know, they had practice closed up. Nobody can watch how they're going through everything. But a student reporter was in a building on campus that's near the football facility, and he watched practice from that building. And he used binoculars to see what was going on, and he reported that the freshman was taking most of the first team reps. And then he got a quote from Spencer Rattler's dad saying, "Hey, right now we're committed to the program. You know, we'll see where everything is at the end of the year, blah, 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 blah." So it's really not much of a quote. But anyway, that's what happened. So knowing that this is college football and knowing what football coaches are like, I bet you could probably predict what happens next. Well, what happens next is that Lincoln Riley, the head coach for the Sooners, cuts off all media availability for the rest of the day. So because one student reporter was enterprising and creative and found a way to do his job, which is to cover the team and get the best information possible, everyone else has to suffer. All of the local TV stations there that cover the team every single day, all of the local radio stations that cover the team every single day, all of the local writers, all of the national people that are there every single day, they all get shut out from their access because Lincoln Riley has an ouchie because of a student reporter. And this is the kind of stuff that administrations need to crack down on. You don't get to be a wuss about this kind of stuff when you make the kind of money that these guys do. And by the way, how is it in any way justified punishing people that didn't do anything wrong because you're afraid of the questions you might be asked based on this? Why is it that these guys that are have immense confidence in themselves, right? Maybe it's fake, I don't know, but they project this big time confidence. Like I'm a big shot. This is football, damn it. But yet when it comes time to maybe face some music or some difficult questions, they're like, I'm gonna go hide. I don't want to answer those questions. I'm gonna put my fingers in my ears. Nah, 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 I can't hear you. Like, just do your job, dude. If you're man enough to take the salary that comes along with being the head football coach at Oklahoma, then you're man enough to take some questions that you don't want to answer. And by the way, you don't have to answer them. You can just say, hey, not commenting on any of that. We're still going through the process. We got two great players. You'll see on Saturday what happens. I mean, that's it. How does that sound hard to you guys? Like, if a dope like me can figure that out, how long did that take me to say? 10 seconds? I mean, you just gave everybody the perfect soundbite, too. 10, 15 second soundbite is the best. You don't have to go any further than that. Say, listen, we're not going to comment on the things that happen behind closed doors. We have two outstanding quarterbacks here. We're preparing for the game this weekend, and I'm not going to get into that. You'll find out on Saturday what's going to happen. That's it. Why is that so difficult? And if people keep pressing, just simply stay calm and say, guys, we can play this game all day, but I told you I'm not answering those questions. We're going to figure, you're going to see what the solution is when we take the field on Saturday. But man, I love both of these players. They're awesome. You know, I think they're both future NFL players, and we're lucky to have two guys this good. Wow, that was really hard. I could never have thought of that. That was a $7 million a year head football coach at a major university. No, what I have to do is have a hissy fit and shut everybody down, make everybody's day of work that much harder. Because, you know, now I got my shorts in a bunch. That's it. That's what it's all about in Oklahoma right now. We're going to close it off tonight with the next chapter, I guess, when it comes to the 650,000 emails that have been combed through as it relates to the Washington football team's investigation. This time, it's not a coach, and it's not something that's super offensive that got put out there, but let's just say Adam Schefter had some splaining to do today. We'll get to that next up on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner!
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
So we, as I told you guys yesterday, there would continue to be fallout from the 650,000 emails that have been examined in the investigation of the Washington football team. And, you know, the one person that took the big hit, of course, was John Gruden. And somebody clearly wanted Gruden to go. I think that's pretty obvious. And I've had some people joke it's, you know, it's like, it's almost like a mob hit, right? Like, keep your mouth shut or this is what's going to happen. And the NFL definitely has that vibe. But what obviously happened with Gruden is what were his emails with, you know, offensive statements about all different kinds of people, including the commissioner of the football league. So it's always good to insult the CEO of the company. That's good for job security. But what you have now is a slightly different angle here. And I don't know who's doing the leaking. I don't know what their motivations are. But it sure seems like with that many emails, there's probably going to be more of this. Well, today the more is not quite as dramatic. It's not likely to cost anybody their jobs. But Adam Schefter of ESPN had to release a statement today because the latest thing to come out of those 650,000 emails was that back in 2011 when the league and the players were talking about a collective bargaining agreement, Adam Schefter had a long, kind of complex story written. He sent the whole thing to the same person that John Gruden was emailing, Bruce Allen, with the Washington football team, for a look-see. So this is the interesting thing. So in this release or of the email that Schefter sent, he sent a full unpublished story to Bruce Allen and said, please let me know if you see anything that should be added, changed, tweaked. Said, thanks, Mr. Editor, for that and the trust. Plan to file this to ESPN about 6 a.m. Now, I'm not sure that it's all that unusual to run things by sources. I do think it's unusual, and based on people's reaction, other people agree with me on this, to submit a whole story and basically say, hey, let me know what you'd like to change. Like, that's a little bit odd. I think, you know, cross-checking some specifics. But in Schefter's explanation, maybe this is a more complicated thing because it was a really in-depth story about collective bargaining talks, and there were some complicated issues in there. We don't know what he was asking for was, you know, partisan opinion or more along the lines of, do I have all the facts right? Because there's a lot of crap here that we have to figure out. But Schefter issued an apology. He said, fair questions are being asked about my reporting approach on an NFL lockout story from 10 years ago. He said, just to clarify, it's common to verify facts of a story with sources before you publish in order to be as accurate as possible. In this case, I took the rare step of sending the full story in advance because of the complex nature of the collective bargaining talks. But then he acknowledges, step too far, shouldn't have done it. The criticism against me is fair. And then he goes on to say, I did not cede editorial control or hand over final say about a story to anyone, and I never would, essentially, blah, blah, blah. So none of this is going to be like taking pot shots at the commissioner of the league using foul language, right? Nothing here falls into the racism or any of the things that John Gruden kind of stepped all through that minefield. So, you know, Schefter's not going to be in the line of fire, but I do think that maybe it raises some interesting questions about maybe how too many of the quote-unquote NFL insiders are a little too inside. Maybe, I mean, like, if you're an insider in this regard and you're going to people for this kind of thing and doing it in this way, are you maybe compromised from being critical where necessary? But I think that's my biggest criticism of the big-name NFL reporters. You know, the guys that won't touch the St. Louis lawsuit with a 1,000-foot pole. I mean, they won't touch that thing. You put them in a hazmat suit, they're not going to touch that story. Guys like Schefter, guys like Peter King, right? Like, they're not touching that story. And by the way, I like those guys. I like their reporting. You know, I mean, this is not a personal thing. But nobody around the league that wants access ever covers anything too hard that the league doesn't want covered. It's always like the investigative guys on ESPN that aren't tied to the NFL, right? It's Mark Fenarawada. It's the guys that do the long-term, you know, the ones that did the steroid investigations in baseball and all that. It's never the NFL insiders that are breaking those stories or digging in on them. And I do think that that's a valid question in particular about that sport. I feel like the people that cover baseball in that same capacity are more openly critical about Major League Baseball when the opportunity presents it, when it's necessary. I think that same thing is true when it comes to people who cover the National Hockey League. In the NBA, I sometimes ask these same questions of certain people. But in the NFL, it almost feels like the people that have access are super worried about losing that access because of the way the NFL does things. Like, if you want to keep getting scoops, if you want to keep getting stories, don't ask those tough questions. Don't dig in on this topic. Now, again, that's not entirely fair, but, you know, again, Schefter's job is typically more the breaking stories that have to do with, like, stuff on the field, right? Injuries, trades, you know, who's going to draft who, things like that, transactions. But I think that's one of the reasons why the coverage on the NFL is so soft on some big issues. because too many of the people that are in position to ask the difficult questions don't seem to want to. And this raises the question to me, well, if you're going to do this kind of thing, if you're going to be not just getting information from sources, but sending them full stories and saying, hey, tell me what I got wrong. Tell me what needs to be changed. Well, are they going to do those things for you if you're a little more critical of them? I don't know. It's an interesting balance. And I do think it's a bigger problem in football than other sports, but obviously I don't really have anything to back that up. It's just a gut feel. I don't have, like, numbers on that. You guys have yourselves a great night. We got a lot to do tomorrow. Again, we're scheduled to have Craig Berube at 6:30 tomorrow as we continue to get ready for the Blues season. We'll have more baseball for you as well. Have a good night. We'll catch you tomorrow night on Sports on the Line.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.